Part 1. Monday, 9:30 a.m. The first note appeared on Tess Monahan's car on a March day that was cranky as a toddler, wet, tired, prone to squalls. But Tess did not know the note was the first of anything. There is no first until the second arrives. So this note was a mere curiosity, a plain piece of paper folded and placed under the windshield wiper on her car. From a distance, it had looked like a ticket, and Tess cursed under her breath as she turned the corner and headed up Elm Street. She was sure she had fed the meter for more than enough time to stop and grab coffee and a bagel on the avenue. Tess was sure because she had also fed meters for several other cars parked along this strip of Elm Street, a habit for which she had been scolded by parking enforcement types. One had even tried to claim it was illegal to feed another person's meter. At which point, Tess Monahan swore to use her spare change this way whenever possible. She saw herself as the Robin Hood of all endangered parkers, although she was stealing from the poor, the beleaguered city of Baltimore, and assisting the rich, at least this morning. Who was more disadvantaged in the end? A city that could no longer afford to pick up the trash twice a week? Or a proud Gilman mom, according to the bumper sticker, who had parked her Porsche Cayenne outside the wine source without feeding the meter? Damn it! Did I get a ticket? Tess sprinted the last block to her car. It was a minivan, which she adored. Tess had never defined herself by the car that she drove. The only thing she disliked about her Honda Odyssey was that it didn't have a manual transmission. She had been proud of driving a stick. Tess was proud of a lot of odd things. She was proud in general, although she sometimes lost sight of that fact about herself.
"If it is a ticket, why run now?"
asked Sandy, her partner of a year, coming up the block at a more leisurely pace. A retired cop, he didn't waste words or motions.
"Besides, there's no red stripe."
"Why are you talking about beer at 9:30 a.m.? The wine source isn't even open yet." The wine source was Tess's favorite liquor store. She knew its hours well.
"Why are you thinking about beer at 9:30 a.m.? No red stripe on the paper. That's not a city parking ticket."
"Probably a flyer, then. But why am I the only one to get one?" She opened it to find a handwritten note. Oh, dear. Had someone sideswiped her? She didn't see anything on this side of the Honda, which was named Gladys because everything in her life, everything, must be named and quantified, according to her 3-year-old daughter. Carla Scout had recently asked Tess to name and count the moles on her body, and Tess had chosen the names of first ladies. Martha, Abigail, Dolly, Ladybird, Nancy, Mary, Jackie, Pat, Betty, Eleanor, Michelle, Hillary. It had been an interesting test of her memory. But Gladys had been spared. The note said only, "I saw you feeding the meters. Hooray for you." "Well, that's nice," she said, showing Sandy the note.
"I guess so."
Her new partner held people in even lower esteem than Tess did. It was a valuable quality in a private investigator, occasionally enervating in one's only co-worker. "Okay, what's the downside?"
"Could be sarcastic."
"Doesn't feel that way."
"Still kind of creepy. Like the person who wrote it, he or she, and I'm betting it's a he, thinks he's entitled to judge you. I bet he scoops up after dogs in the park and takes it to the owner's houses, leaves it on the doorstep."
"You told me you did that."
"I told you I wanted to. Big difference."
"The bottom line is, I'm not out $32. You squared away for the morning?"
"Yes, I have a meeting with the security company, and then the electronics guy is going to meet me at the condo, walk through, work up a proposal. Then you and I meet her tomorrow at Tyner's office, go over all of it. Look, I have to speak my mind. This is outside my comfort zone. I'm not a security consultant, and I don't want to be in some stupid TV show."
"Tell me about it. But Tyner is family, so I have to take this meeting. He probably thinks I need the money,"
and I do. But I'm going to be candid with her. We're not going to be part of the film, and this isn't our bailiwick. Bailiwick. Sandy repeated the word, rolled it in his mouth like a lozenge. English was his second language, and while well into his fifth decade in the United States, he collected words the way some people collected butterflies, impaling them on pins, considering them from all angles. A widower, born in Cuba, he didn't have a wisp of an accent. Blonde and green-eyed, too. If it weren't for the fact of his surname, Sanchez, most people would have assumed he was just a typical Baltimore mutt. Like Tess, whose Irish name and freckles convinced some people that she wouldn't blink at an anti-Semitic slur. But her mother's maiden name had been Weinstein, and Tess did much more than blink when invited to share sentiments about cheapness and media conspiracies.